Join us in our scripture reading. It is going to be from Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the territory of Judea, during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you have found him, report to me, so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went and looked. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chest and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route.
We all have them, some much larger than we wish we had. And at this time of year, more than any other, we're pulled in the seemingly impossible task of regaining our physical shape, promising ourselves and sometimes others that who will share our quest that we'll get out of the gate better this year. No more junk food. Well, at least limited junk food. Lots more exercise. Well, at least we'll walk to the ice cream store versus doing what I refer to as pushing the button. And that is the quick button to Papa John's online order, my favorite pizza, which they'll save. It's very easy. We all have guts, don't we? No matter how small or how large they are. Whether to our liking or not, they serve a common purpose. At least one we have nicknamed, trusting our gut to make important, sometimes critical decisions. This seems to be what occurs on this first Sunday of Epiphany with the Magi, who followed a star to find something extraordinary, something they didn't expect. Something that in all their academics of studying astrology and people, they were really quite unsure about. Those of you who have been around me a bit know that I love to dive deeply into scripture. And especially with the more familiar stories that we've heard over and over again. It's a game of sorts. And I like to think it's a healthy game. To look for turns and twists that haven't been preached about. Uncommon things that lie right beneath our reading eyes, but we often miss. This is a perfect story for that kind of theological searching and game playing. So I ask you this morning, how many Christmas pageants have you seen with three wise men arriving to the manger bringing their gifts? Sometimes we've even played the role. Other times, kids we love have. And we ooh and ah and laugh and sometimes cry and think, isn't that just great how these three kings came to visit Jesus? Except who said there were three of them? And actually, who told us they were kings? And where did we get the idea that they arrived in the manger scene and bowed before the baby Jesus there, finding themselves in the middle of cattle and donkeys and sheep and the lowly shepherds? I mean, really, where do we get this stuff? It would be funny for us to arrive at such conclusions if it wasn't funny. I'm hoping that some of you will join me in the next few weeks. I'll be telling you more about it. As we read and study together this amazing book from Robin Myers, I read it first in 2011. I read it again at the beach this week. It's called Saving Jesus from the Church. And here's one quote. Once again, religion at its best should be biblically responsible, intellectually honest, emotionally satisfying, and socially significant. Archbishop Desmond Tutu says about this book, every once in a while, a book comes along that changes everything. This is the book. It is a book that will challenge us to move away from conditioned thinking. It would be funny for us to arrive at the conclusion that there were three kings that came to visit Jesus in the manger if it was not funny. You see, we come to these same conclusions about lots of other things in the Bible. And so do many others come to conclusions that result in people being rejected from the church. Us, who will quickly discount literal interpretation when it's to our liking. But we hang on ever so tightly to the Bible says that I believe it, that's enough, when it's a particular scripture that we like. I don't think that's very fair, do you? I mean, we can't have it both ways, church. For those of us who identify as LGBT, we cannot toss out the 7 scripture passages that condemn us while we hold tightly to scripture that condemns someone else. For those of us whose ancestors or selves have suffered as a result of literal interpretation which condones slavery, we can't toss those out while holding on to the scripture that oppresses another face of God's humanity. Well, we all can. And we do. But should we? See, we don't know how many magi there were. Sure, we know they brought 3 gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But maybe they got it after a Christmas sale. And they had hundreds of bottles of it. I mean, that would suit the time period because these magi, however many of them came, they didn't arrive in the immediate aftermath of Jesus' birth. It was well after. I bet Mary had even lost her baby wet by the time they arrived. It would have been a long journey. And they didn't have a plane to ride. And if they did, by today's performance of canceled departures, they would have been delayed anyway. In church, we know they weren't kings. They were astrologers who the kings trusted. But they were not kings. Had they been kings, they would have not made the journey themselves. They would have done the same thing as King Herod did. Sent them. Now you may be saying, okay, Pastor Marsha, off your soapbox. Get on with the topic. And I'd respond, first, you pay me to be on the soapbox. And second, this preliminary information is important. Why? Because today we begin an epiphany journey. And for any unfamiliar with this part of the church's calendar called our liturgical year, it is the time between the birth of Jesus and Ash Wednesday. And oh, how I pray it's not wasted time. During this Epiphany journey, we'll be invited to look anew at not just what the birth of Jesus meant, but more importantly, what did his life mean? And we can't possibly do that. Hear me here. We can't possibly do that if we hold on to ideas, beliefs, and theologies that we refuse to re-examine. It may be that once we re-examine it, we'll be more sure than ever that our interpretation is the right one for us. And yet, it very well may be that if we can pull ourselves away from etched in stone ideas about who Jesus was and how we should interpret his life, well, who knows? Who knows the epiphany, which means enlightenment, that might occur? I have shared with many of you that my social and political and theological stances of just some 15 years ago have dramatically changed. I don't mean just by little. I mean dramatically. My special friends who join us today, Steve Johnson and Janet Brumfield, are elders from Woodland Christian Church that ordained me. And when they first met me, they could probably tell you I'm not the same person that I am now in terms of my theology. And thank God Woodland didn't kick me out the door. While the last few years admittedly haven't brought the landslide shift that occurred some 15 years ago, there have still been some changes and adjustments to what I believe and how I apply these sacred stories to my life. And for sure, to my ministry. Now listen, that's not to say that I'm right. Because in truth, none of us know whether we're right or not, do we? But it is to say that I'm changed. And I hope with the help of God, for as long as I have breath, I am willing to muster up the courage and openness to look with fresh eyes and an open mind and heart. It is, after all, what we call in the United Church of Christ, listening to a still speaking God. The point is, my friends, that with this story, one which we're tempted to interpret the way it's been portrayed in children's plays, we might sleep beneath the surface, and if we do, here's at least one lesson we can take. Having been sent by the powerful king to, in his words, find the child so that I can honor him, they defied the instruction. For what we read in this story is not that there were three of them, is not that there were kings, is not that they arrived in the barn. But what we read is once they entered the house where they found Mary and Jesus, doesn't say if anyone else was there, including Joseph, who was probably back to his carpentry job. But once these magi entered the house and saw this child, they were overcome in such a way that they knelt down. Now don't lose me here. I'm almost done. But don't lose me. While these magi were not kings, they were priests who had access to powerful folks like kings. And for them to come in and kneel by a baby and his teenage mom, who became pregnant before marriage. Well, that wasn't heard of. But our scripture says they were overcome with joy. I wonder how that felt. After such a long journey, following an ordinary, albeit bright, star. Joy that their destination held something beyond their highest astrological dreams. I wonder how it felt to sense the sacred specialness in this simple baby and young mama. Far removed from the oppressive and powerful influences that in their own self-serving they had aligned themselves with. What joy they must have felt to finally be free from what their hearts and minds must have known all along just wasn't right in the world. I wonder how it felt to have that kind of joy, that kind of overwhelming joy. As a Christian, I find that joy in Jesus. And so that's why Christmas holds such endearment for me. I could care less about the debates of whether we really had the timetable correct or the historical accuracy of who the characters were. I don't care about the details. For what I know to be true is that in this baby Jesus who grew up to become my life's model, I find joy in no matter what comes my way, no matter where I am on life's journey, the life and ministry of Jesus convinces me that something bigger than I has the final say, and someone beyond my imagination walks beside me every single hour of every single day. And it's been my life's experience that whether my gut hurts from tears of joy or tears of despair, God's presence never leaves. In examining anew the life of Jesus and what it means, perhaps we can admit that along some theological continuum, and trust me, there's a good theological variety in this room week after week. But along some theological continuum, Jesus did come to save us. To save us from ourselves. From depending on ourselves. From getting too full of ourselves. From aligning ourselves with the powerful in our world. From expecting to control our surroundings through what we know and who we know. These magi, whoever there were and in whatever number they came, it looks like a lot of them appear. They experienced a joy they had never experienced when they caught a glimpse of God in that simple baby boy. They were told by the powerful king, go see the baby and come back to me. Give me all the details. But they didn't. They had a gut check. And instead of listening to power and perhaps even good reason, they went home, but by a different way. It is my prayer, church, that as we journey through our Epiphany season together, we will continue to find our way home, albeit too, by a different way. With another insight of who God is, with a new angle of what Jesus' life and ministry was all about, with what it calls us to do as church and as individuals, committed to sharing the inclusive, loving, radical gospel message of Jesus in 2015 in a new way. Could we have a gut check? And find the courage to go against what those in power have taught us to believe? Who knows? Who knows, we might be so overcome with joy when we come upon something new, something fresh, something we thought might be impossible to believe. Who knows? It might be an epiphany that leads to unbelievable joy.
Looking at this little stranger, wondering, will he be like other boys? Looking down across tomorrow, knowing there will be some sorrow, I still know he'll bring 10,000 joys. 10,000 joys. Sweet Son of God, you came to me, and my heart sings.
My heart sings. Jesus, in the quiet where no one sees us, or when he is with me in life's noise.
If I speak, I know he'll hear me, and to know that he is near me always brings to me 10,000 joys. 10,000 joys. Sweet Son of God, you came to me, and my heart sings.
My heart sings.
I know he came from God to save us from ourselves, and that he came to set his people free.
But how was I to know when Jesus came into my life that God's own Son had come to bring to me? 10,000 joys to last the years. 10,000 joys. 10,000 joys.
Love you.